Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time once again to pack up your gear, take to the road, as we chase the all over the map family, as they wander from city to city, country to country, with their kids, in search of their forever home. So let's see if we can find them. They were sitting still for a while, but I think they're moving again. Welcome, Caitlin and Michael Doner.
Welcome. Hey, how's it going?
I'm just smiling today because last week you were very reflective. We're at the beach. It's warm. And we're sitting a little, you know, sipping a little drink with a little umbrella in it. And life looks good. It's Margaritaville. And all of a sudden, you got the itch to go. Did you go because I hear the weather shifted on you? That was part of the reason.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it was, I think, 2 days after the last time we chatted, it was about 105 degrees Fahrenheit, which was hotter than we've been in for a while, being down south, going to Antarctica and such.
Yeah.
But then literally within 3 days, the high was 65 there in Monte Hermoso. So, yeah, we decided to we're not going to do anything on the beach anyway, since it's raining and 65 degrees and windy. So we decided to come inland a little bit and follow our friends who are, they were going to kind of continuing on their month-long vacation for their summer vacation. And they came to a place called Bahia Blanca, and they're visiting some family. And they said, well, why don't you guys just come with us and come check out Bahia Blanca? So we said, why not? So that's where we are now, is Bahia Blanca, which is a pretty big city in Argentina on the Atlantic coast, about halfway down the seaboard of Argentina.
As you've taken your trip, you haven't done too many of these where somebody just says, hey, why don't you go with us, or why don't you go over there? Occasionally you've done some of that. You know, you had kind of an intentional path you were following. There were some things you wanted to see. When you looked at the travel guides, hey, we're so close, we might as well go over there too. What's it like just to literally stick your finger in the wind and go, which way is the wind blowing? Oh, it's not blowing too good. Let's go over there. Just sort of go somewhere.
Yeah, I would say we haven't perfected it yet. there's still a level of added stress, I think, just not sure where we're going, not sure how many days we're going to be there, not sure kind of what's next. There's still an aspect of our American brains that like to have a plan. Have things like, you know, in its box and know where we're going and that kind of thing. So I feel like it kind of introduces an element of stress a little bit when we start traveling like that. Mm-hmm. I think we're getting better at it, but we're still not great at it, I'll say. I think we're still improving.
And what's the hardest? I was going to say, what's the hardest part, moving the kids or just getting yourself used to the idea we're not really sure where we're going or what we're going to do or where we're going to be, all that, the uncertainty of it?
Yeah, the biggest thing, honestly, is packing. Oh, my goodness. Like, every time we move, we have to pack up our bags and get everything so that it fits into our vehicle, which at this point is a small Fiat car that's technically a 5-passenger, but it probably would be comfortable for 4. Huh. And make everything cram into the trunk of it. So that's kind of a little bit of adding to the stress, is every time we change locations, we have to pack everything up and make everything fit. But I don't know. I think probably the kids, as long as we give them screens when we're traveling, they don't care, to be honest. It's not stressful for them at all.
They'll take all the traveling in the world if they can watch SpongeBob or whatever they're watching these days. I don't know.
Or build a house in Minecraft, which is currently their
that's it, Minecraft. Okay, all right. And they're not into Roblox. That's what my grandson.
Roblox
too,
Roblox requires Wi-Fi. They can do Minecraft without Wi-Fi.
Oh, I see. Okay, there you go. All right, you're right, because Roblox is an online community here where you build these little virtual worlds here. Well, you know, I wonder. It's interesting to me. I'll give you another little thing to consider. Have the kids taken any way to express to put the trip in perspective in their own words? And let me give you an example. We do a show on electric bikes, And we had a dealer that came on, and they had changed their life radically in COVID, said they're leaving corporate America. We're going to open up a small mom and pop bike shop in a small town. They left the big city, and everything's big change for them in a weird way, kind of sort of what you guys are doing. Let's try something different. And their kids are about your age. They're, you know, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 9, somewhere in the neighborhood. And they found one of them creating a stop animation. That seems just so mind-boggling to me. This is what the kid does for fun. But these little stop animation videos about their new life as electric bike dealers. And there's a little story of mom and dad and the family are now selling electric bikes in this little town and what happens and everything. And they were so touched and so amazed. That's how they expressed their new life. They had to put it into a little video or something here, a little cartoon type of thing. Do they ever write things or draw things or create things, little stories, little animations, little things? Or is it just every day is just, they're just bounding along here and not really reflecting at it all here?
Each of them has their own journal that they have to write in. So for the boys, it's penmanship. And I suppose for Cora as well, although we haven't been making her write in cursive, which she should be. So they have to put the date, the location, write a sentence or two, and then draw a picture. So it's kind of penmanship and art gets smashed in. And I'm not going to say this is world-class art that we're creating. It's just a start for, I think mostly it's just a trigger to say, oh yeah, remember that time we were in so-and-so and such and such, and kind of have them tell their story later. But just having that touch point where we can kind of spark the memories.
Any word from them? Is this just the new normal, or are they pining to get home? Because you're talking about coming home in like 3 or 4 weeks. Home, whatever that is, the old home.
Yeah, going back to California in 3 weeks. And yeah, I think the kids are extremely excited. Michael and I are realizing, holy crap, it's expensive to go back to the United States. So trying to find the logistics when you've sold your house or like rented out your house and sold your minivan, we're like, okay, can we borrow somebody's car? Can we stay in a friend's house? But there's five of us, so staying in a friend's house is a little bit
more complicated than just sleeping on the couch.
So there's, I think it's going to feel more chaotic to go back to the United States and try and see family for 4 weeks than it is for us to just do our normal travel gig, because we have to accommodate everybody else's schedules. And it's four times as expensive for us to live there and eat there and be there than it is for us to be anywhere else in the world. So, yeah, it's a whole different ballgame for us. Kind of going back feels foreign now, but the kids, they're just excited to see their cousins and their friends. And
we had a conversation last night for probably 30 or 45 minutes with my parents and their cousins, two young girls that they just have, you know, they've grown up with and played with when we were back at home. And so talking to them, I think, really got them excited about going home and seeing family. So that's
So I think I smile every time you say it, and I understand the impulse. We're coming home. That means that you're really still on just an extended exploration. You're not really, you haven't made the commitment that California isn't your home, that you're not in flux. You're not in, you know, you're not the true gypsies in a caravan homeless. You still in your mind have a home somewhere, even if somebody else is living in it.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing is, like, Caitlin and I have committed, like, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we're not coming back to California to live, just for business reasons, tax reasons, political reasons, lots of reasons why we're getting out of California. But I think until we establish somewhere that we really consider
a new house.
Yeah, until we buy a new house, I think we'll always refer to that as home. It's like when a kid goes to college. You know, they still go home, even if they've lived away for 2 or 3 or 4 years. Until they've established or bought their own home and really like made something theirs. If they're living in dorms or an apartment for, you know, while they're going to college or something, there's always that like that sense of, oh, I'm going home to see family, or I'm going. I think terminology wise, we use it as that. But we know we're not going back to California to live. But until we establish the next place, I think it's just kind of the default home.
I always said when we moved a lot as a kid, every couple of years, we moved from state to state following my dad's job. And every time we moved somewhere, there was an impulse to call the last place home when we went back there. Right. Yeah. And for years, I lived in I moved in California in 1980. For when my parents were still alive, you know, for 10 years, 20 years, I'd go back home. When are you coming home? And I kept thinking to myself, I am home. That's not home to me. That's a foreign place. So I think that'll be fascinating to see how much connection you feel when you come back here or how foreign it feels. I will say this, and that's what we're going to talk about today, money. Oh, my goodness. The United States, you know, inflation's at a 40-year high. Everything has jumped in 6 months. Food, gas, used cars, housing prices. Everything has just jumped dramatically. I guess that's good news for your house still sitting there with a renter in it. But you're going to be amazed at the rest of it here. And I wonder how it compares to living on the road. Because my perception always was the road is always more expensive. Renting
the road. People are shocked by that all the time. I say, no, we're saving money by going and traveling the world. People are just like no way. Like, you've got to be joking like that. But it really is.
I will say the most expensive thing is just the airline tickets.
Yeah,
That's why we're rethinking how we want to do the next stretch. Is the plan is just to use Thailand as our home base and just live abroad. And then as time allows, maybe do a weekend trip to Japan or a week long visit to China.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Because then once you're inside the continents, little air flights are really cheap, and we can just pack a single backpack for a 2 day stay.
And leave all the other stuff behind. Yeah, that's an interesting idea.
Leave all the other stuff behind. So yeah. I think after doing this for 6 months and schlepping around 14 pieces of luggage every 4 days to an entirely new location, we're like, you know what? We need a home base, and then we'll do travel experiences. But having a home base in Thailand, and then probably when Thailand kicks us out, the Philippines, and then move like, but yeah, in the Philippines, we can rent a gorgeous 3-bedroom house with a pool, not like within walking distance of the beach, 2 or 3 blocks from the beach, and it's $500 a month.
Wow. Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. So it's just insane what you can do when you're not paying United States prices, but you still are being paid in United States dollars.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, and is that just because these places are cheaper to live? That must be part of it. Or is there any currency? How does the currency complicate all this? Because sometimes places, like I know Canadians are always going through, oh, this year it's great to come to the U.S. No, this year I'm not coming to the U.S.
Yeah,
it really does vary a lot. With the U.S. kind of going into an inflationary period, it'll be interesting to see how that affects the strength of the dollar. But right now with COVID, the whole world is. Yeah, I feel like everybody's kind of experiencing that. So I don't know that it's going to hurt the dollar much just because everybody's experiencing that a similar inflation amount. But no, coming down to Argentina, I mean, I think we've discussed this a little bit on a previous episode, but it's pretty crazy. The government has kind of mandated, they say, okay, our exchange rate with the US dollar is 100 pesos per dollar. So basically a peso per penny. But on the black market,
the blue market.
Well,
the blue, they have a different color down there.
the blue exchange rate. Yeah. But in the black market, if you go down the street, every 50 feet as you walk down, there's a street called Florida Street in Buenos Aires. And as you walk down it, every 50 feet or so, somebody's yelling, cambio, 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 cambio. And they want you to change your U.S. dollars into Argentinian pesos. And if you do it on the black market, you get 200 pesos per U.S. dollar. Wow. So it's pretty crazy. You literally double your money by using the street vendors to exchange your dollar instead of doing it at the government bank rates. So if we spend something on our debit card or our credit card here in Argentina, it does it at the black or at the regular exchange rate, the government exchange rate of 1 penny per peso. But if we get cash, and then use cash, we can do it at 200 pesos per dollar. So yeah, it's something you have to be aware of wherever you're traveling. Is it better to use US dollars? Is it better to use the local currency? What's the exchange rate? Is there a black market exchange rate versus the official exchange rate? Wow. And it changes country by country. So it's a little bit complicated, but Thailand, I think, was, I think it's about 350
baht to the US.
Yeah, it's 350 baht to the US dollar. Everything that I was looking at in bahts, I mean, it's like 200 bahts per week for electricity for an apartment. So, but it feels very cheap. I mean, everything is, the conversion rate is good for Americans. And then also just cost of living is lower. Food, an apartment. I mean, we're looking at a penthouse apartment on the top of a condo building for $800 a month.
Wow.
That's three bedrooms, and it's like it has a pool, a jacuzzi, about 200 yards away from the ocean, and it's $800 a month. It's just crazy.
I have a very good friend who that's his escape plan. Eventually, is to, when he can't work anymore, doesn't want to work anymore, Thailand's it for him. That's what he's actually studied the language now for years, and he goes over there once or twice a year just trying to scope it out. That's where he thinks he's going to end up here. I know similar people.
Yeah, so we've been kind of connecting with other World School families, they call themselves, over there, and just getting a sense for where is the best place. We were looking at, is it Phuket? And then there was a little island, Koh Samui. And she was like, yeah, we like it here. It's the island life. We don't need a car. We have a beachfront villa and a nanny for our two kids. And we have a big expat community and plenty of people for them to hang out with. And I was like, okay, you sold me. Like, I guess
we're going to cook. We're in. We'll be there.
But yeah, it's a very safe country, pretty clean, great conversion rate, very friendly people, friendly towards the U.S. and just in general. And a monarchy, which we didn't know. So the biggest downside for us moving to Thailand is we either need to go to bed at 3 or wake up at 3 in the morning, depending on which.
Because they're 12 hours different.
They're 12 hours ahead of Eastern. So in order for us to have any working hours that overlap with the United States, we need to work either very late at night or very early in the morning. So we haven't decided yet. Flip a coin which side we want to come down.
Which way you want to be tired. Like the idea of the hub and spoke approach. I mean, that's what we're thinking about, going to Mars, for Pete's sake. We're probably not going to pack up everything and just go to Mars in one shot. We might try it once, but they want to have a space station or a moon base or something else that sort of in between, that they can stock up everything and then take less with them when they go. The idea of packing everything you need every time you move is tiring and difficult. When you look ahead at the next phase here, it seems like you're sort of completing a phase here. You've gone all the way to the tip of South America, to literally to Antarctica, as far as you can go. And now you're sort of, lingering around, checking out a few other things before you sort of come back home, if this is still home, regroup and replan and relaunch where you go next here. You've learned some lessons along the way here about packing. You've talked about that. You've learned this idea that maybe you're going to take a home base. Anything that strikes you that we didn't know then that we do now?
Great question. I know we've been documenting this for several months now. So I feel like we've got most of the epiphanies have been through, but I'm thinking about.
In logistics or in expectation, how you move, how you travel, how you do things. Like at the pace of which, for you, we've talked about this on and off. Do you go, 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 and then do you crash and burn, and then you go, go, go? Is it one extreme or the other? Do you wander, or do you go intentional, or is it a combination of all those things? All of these are things you're going to regroup and take with you the next time you go to Thailand, let's say. And it seems like you're going to have a different approach the next round here.
Yeah, I think we're still learning on that count. I mean, we started off and just go, go, go till we drop. And then now we've kind of taken, 90 days to explore Argentina, which we didn't expect, but because of COVID, that's just kind of how things worked out. So I feel like the last two or three months here has been much more relaxed than our first 3 months.
Yeah,
And I think the Thailand, if we're in Thailand for 6 months, because that's how long we can stay there, I think that's going to be an even more relaxed. So who knows, the family that we're going to be meeting in Buenos Aires next week, They do a location for between 6 months and a year, and they don't even really do side trips. So they just do like 6 months or a year wherever they're going, depending on how long their visas will last.
Right.
And so I don't know if we'll ever go that extreme in the other direction where we're staying in one place for that length of time. But I think Thailand is going to be kind of a happy medium, right, where we stay primarily there, and then we do weekend or week-long trips to get out from there. But I would say kind of the biggest thing that I've been pondering, and we've talked about it a little bit, a couple different conversations that we've had, is really letting go of the expectations, just kind of letting being in the experience of where we are, as opposed to having an idea like, oh, this is going to be the most amazing and incredible thing ever. Right. Just because we tend, when we hype something up in our mind, if it doesn't look exactly like that, we get disappointment. Whereas if we come into it with an open mind, we can't be disappointed. So, so I think that's, and it's another thing that we're working on, right? Whether it's with kids or as a family or even personally, getting excited about something is a good thing. Mm-hmm. But how do we get excited about the travel and get excited about upcoming events without latching on to like, this is what it has to look like?
Yes.
Exactly. Otherwise we're disappointed. So yeah, right. It's an interesting kind of go back and forth.
And I think for me, as we're planning 2022 and looking backwards at the last 6 months, Michael told me this is not a vacation. This is just our new way of life. But I don't think I really embraced it. But as I'm like setting business goals and like doing my normal day-to-day strategic planning for how are we going to grow the company, how are we going to publish the books, like as I do normal business planning, it makes me realize like travel is just a huge disruption. Like every time we move, we have to like we relate to this call because we were just checking into our apartment and having the Wi-Fi explained to us and figuring out can we drink the water or can we not drink the water and all that kind of stuff. And like every single time we move, we have to tear down operations, switch gears, relearn an entirely new system. And we never know. We never know if they're going to have, like, the last house didn't have towels or bed sheets.
Little things like that.
Right. So it's just every single house has its eccentricities that we need to accommodate for. And I was just like, man, at the beginning, that sounded so exciting. Like after being in one house for 13 years or 12 years or whatever. And I was like, I just want to see the world and I want to travel. And that pace of go, go, go was exhilarating. But now realizing like, I just don't know that it's sustainable for the other priorities that we have. Like if the only thing I was doing was just traveling and I didn't have to worry about running a business and I didn't have to worry about homeschooling the kids and I didn't have to worry about publishing schedules and being on podcasts and things like that. Yeah, I think if we were just Michael and I backpacking for 6 months and we just had ourselves and our backpack and we didn't need to be anywhere at any particular time, I think it would be really easy to kind of flit around. But since we still have real world responsibilities, it's making me appreciate, okay, single location, it's good, like established Wi-Fi, and then like just knowing where I'm going to be so that I can book appointments. That's the hardest thing right now is like, I'll send you my calendar link, but you should know that at any given moment, we might need to reschedule. So,
yeah, exactly.
It's hard for building and school and
there
all
might be a revolution tomorrow. There might be a hurricane tomorrow. There might be an opportunity tomorrow that we can't pass up here. You know, you never know what
it is. I might just stop functioning for no apparent reason. Yeah. We really, it feels like there's a lot that's outside of our control. And fortunately our partners and friends have given us a lot of grace as we end core school, but yeah, I think as we look forward March and beyond into the next segment, I think a little more stability is probably going to help a lot of things.
And be more sustainable. It's hard to live unpredictable lives. If it's just yourself or the two of you, it's easier to be carefree and footloose and fancy free or whatever the saying is, to just go wherever the wind goes. But you got kids to think of. And I think it's hard to think of any place as home if you're always got one eye on the door. If you're always thinking of the next place and the next trip and the next version, then I don't think you ever really give a place a chance to settle down and what would it be like to stay here? You don't experience that. But by staying someplace and then venturing out from there, you might get more of a home feeling for Thailand or some other place that you call a base. Well, I think that's it. I think you've correctly summarized where you're at today here. Where do you're just hanging out with this couple? It'd be interesting to have them on sometime, or other people that you I keep saying that you stumble on along the road who are on similar journeys. Because Michael said it all. I think it's true. When you go on Instagram, suddenly everybody's out traveling the world or the country or whatever. I mean, are we all in motion right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like it. And for us, I think just realizing we are so eager to follow our friends around just because it does feel the closest thing like home to have people who know your name and you have a relationship with. Like,
right.
It's kind of wherever our friends are, that's where we want to be, because that's the homiest place in Argentina, you know?
Yeah. Well, you're the homiest place we know on the internet here. You're our distant cousins, our family connection, as we follow you and put our pins up on the map here. Where do you head next? Are you just hanging out for a while here? Because you got a couple weeks. You're set to fly back to the U.S. What, in February here?
Yep. February 7th. We won't come back until the 8th. Okay. We'll be in Buenos Aires for a couple of weeks. And yeah, we have our...
Do a short stint in Uruguay, as we've talked about.
Got to go to Uruguay. You're to be the only person I've ever known who's been to Uruguay here. So got to get that badge of honor here. Well, it'll be interesting to see what the next couple of weeks are like. Are you experiencing the place, or do you have an eye already towards home, or an eye towards beyond that to the next adventure here, the next season, the next chapter, as the all over the map family regroups, rethinks how they're taken to the road, and recalls what they've seen, and reflects on where they're going here. I think you're at that kind of reflective point here in the journey here. And I look forward to seeing what other reflections you come up with in the next couple of weeks here. And then how being home feels, how being back in the U.S. feels. And does it feel like, oh, let's stay here for a while. Maybe we're done. Or, oh, no, can't wait to get back in the road. And let's go again here with these newfound lessons and ideas here. All right. Well, enjoy yourselves and your friends there. Where is it? Bahia Blanca? Is that what it's called? All right, I'm going to have to go look that one up on the map. That's a city I've never heard of in Argentina before. Buenos Aires, we all know here. and that combination of big city and small towns, rural areas. I wonder if you've kind of, you know, got a balance yet of that. Is it best to be in Bangkok, or is it best to be up in the jungle somewhere here on a little tiny island off the coast? I don't know.
Yeah.
There's
advantages. Yeah, we'll see. We'll do some research.
Okay. All right. Thanks for joining us. Stick around, folks. We've got a lot more to see as the All Over the Map family keeps wandering the world, kids in tow, maybe, just maybe, in search of that forever home.